Hello, Screeters. Well, as most of you know, I am often spouting off and continually talking about the joys and the wondrous imaginings of emergent play. And I also say, that old school games do this best. So I guess the question is, am I right or am I wrong? I don't really know. But I do know that today is Thursday, December 13th, 2018. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey, Hobbs. I, for one, am enjoying your ad for Kalmata. It sounds really good. A nice OSR feel and everything. And speaking of Kalmata, it sounds like your Kalmata International group is going really well. All we're hearing about are the raves from your players. So maybe you could get a call in from somebody who's miserable and just hates it. But chances are, I doubt that'll happen. Anyway, good show again, and glad to hear another Random Screed.
Thank you very much, Larry Hott, for those kind words, and for keeping up on all my players on OSR Anchorites. It's funny, there is a large group of them, and it's pretty awesome because it really, I guess, gets a lot of excitement going around. People are talking, sharing information, and overall just enjoying playing Dungeons & Dragons. And so I'm not sure it gets much better than that in this group. As for the rest, yeah, totally. I concur. So I didn't get any angry player call-ins, but I did get the Krampus. Matt, I'm a poophead random, calling in.
Hey Jason, this is Matt. I was just listening to your latest Anchorcast, and I felt compelled to call in. So, you know, there's a point when you're doing something that you realize it sucks, and you stop doing it because it's not good enough to meet your own standards, much less other people's standards. So, you know, that's probably why people stop doing Anchorcast when they realize that their product sucked. Other people blindly continue on and end up with over 100 of them. And regardless of if it's good or not, they just keep going. So yeah, there you go. And here we are on the topic of blue booking again, period. We meet again to hear Jason talk about how he wishes his players would interact outside of the game. Paw Kettle, Maw Kettle, Etu Brute.
All right, Matt Jackson. He has these segments titled in some other language that I'm not familiar with, and I'm too lazy to copy it and then try and figure out what it says. I'm sure there's a puzzle there from Monotone Matt Random. I'm pretty sure as well that his tone was just a dig at my last episode. Am I Paw Kettle or Ma Kettle? which is which? Anyway, yeah, I think Matt needs some listening rehab. I wasn't wishing people were doing it. Someone else asked me if they could, and I said I thought that we could maybe try to do that. But I am a fan and a proponent of blue booking. I do wonder how it would work in a multiple player West Marches game like Kalmata, and that was what my concern was. And I guess some people do just keep on going, Matt. We're over 100 episodes and I just keep on going. But maybe you weren't talking about me. I don't know. Was that evil, Matt? Because that dude's beard has gotten out of control. For reals. For seriouslys. Anyway, Matt, whatever you got to say, I'm always happy to hear it. So keep the call-ins calling.
Hey Jason, it's Cody. I was just calling in after listening to your last episode, and You sounded pretty emotional, dude. Just checking in, making sure you're all right. You know, we're all here for you, dude. You can hop in and talk to any of us at any time if you ever need it. But yeah, I just want to, I guess, you know, give some encouragement. I am really enjoying the new podcast as well as Random Screed, and I'm having a blast with Kalmata. I feel like the last few sessions of Kalmata have been the most like meaningful to me and my character. I feel like I've had some interesting development, and well, I guess that's what happens when you contract lycanthropy. Anyway, but yeah, man, just keep it up, and we're all here for you, and we're all having a good time listening and interacting with you. So I'll catch you later, bud. Peace.
Awesome. The mysterious Cody M from No Save for You calls in as a surprise. I didn't know if I sounded emotional. I guess in some ways I am. I was really trying to let the listeners and people know that support me how much I appreciate that and how much, in some ways, I lean on that because it helps to get me through for sure. I think I'll get into it a little more when I get to the main topic, but I appreciate all the Screeders and the Hobgoblins and all the people, you know, that don't support those shows but still listen and I get to see at cons and hang out with and really, you know, revel in the gamer sphere that I'm a part of and that you guys are a part of. So seriously, thank you for that. And I'm glad you're having fun, Cody. I would be wondering, you know, how many sessions has Narder been in? How many sessions have you been in? And if we could talk about why you're enjoying it more now than you were before. What makes these the best sessions ever? And what made the other ones the best sessions never? Always wondering, always tweaking, always searching. So let me know. And as we all know, life is aught but ups and downs. And every end is the start of a new beginning. And as such is life, and so is art. So, I start off with a vinyl couch to say I want to talk about two campaigns that I've been involved in, and so shall I do. So, last night, met the end of the campaign of our 5e game with Edwin Nagy, the man, the legend from Frog God Games, writer of Lesser Gnome with Zach Lazar, and an all-around awesome guy. Also involved in the Midderlands, just tons and tons of projects Edwin Nagy's involved in. And one of them was a Wednesday game for the past 6 months with Jose Bird and a guy named Alan. So that was interesting. It ended last night, and I have a lot of mixed feelings about the game. It was 5e, and I asked him to run 5e, and I asked him to run a six-month campaign. I wanted to see the end of the campaign. I wanted to know what was coming. I wanted to feel that arc. We used milestone XP because we wanted to see some different levels than we normally do. I'd say overall it was a success. There were times I was pretty frustrated, but mostly that is because of my own fault. I didn't make it to a few sessions, and so stuff happened, and then I got lost, and I didn't know what was going on, and by the time I figured out what was going on, I wished we had chosen different paths, and that's all my fault. And it's sad because, I mean, you can't, you know, commit to 25 sessions. You should be able to do that. One of the things I'd felt I'd been missing was that consistent group going about a particular story. I wouldn't say it was epic by any means, but it kind of feels epic by the end. Even though we weren't dealing with anything really massive, we still went through some really interesting character turns and story turns, and the emergent play was pretty powerful by the end. I mean, it was kind of this small tale of a contingent of the Golden Tooth Guard in the Whisper and Venom setting by Lesser Gnome. And I think Frog God, you know, still carries that. So if you want to check it out, go ahead. The map is beautiful. Edwin had a lot of cool maps that he used. He did some really interesting stuff with dynamic lighting that I liked. So overall, it's an experience that I'm glad I went through. But like I said, there were times when I was frustrated quite a bit. Since the campaign ended last night, and not necessarily on a successful note, I say not necessarily because, hey, everyone judges success by a different barometer. And I'm not sure anyone would consider our story arc successful by most barometers, but I kind of do. And the reason is because it gave me what I wanted. We didn't quite get to the level that I'd hoped. I'd hoped to get into the sixth level area and see, you know, the changes in the characters from that point on. But I don't even know if that part of the experiment was successful. And this is why. When we originally made characters, there were three of us. Me, Bird, and Alan. And they were playing a cleric, a dwarven fighter. And so I made a rogue. And I wanted the rogue... I wanted my character to be... use the scout archetype from Xanathar's Guide. But we needed a face person. It was quite obvious. And so I went ahead and, you know, fulfilled that role. And then Jose got brought in later and he made a warlock, which was a better face person. So I felt like we were really walking on each other's toes there. And that was pretty frustrating for me. So my character for the first few sessions really wasn't doing what I wanted him to anyway. And that was annoying. It's kind of my own fault, kind of Jose's fault for not talking to anybody. But the way we normally play games is make whatever you want and we'll figure it out from there. And I don't really have an issue with that. I think most frustration is created by unfulfilled expectation. And my expectations were unfulfilled in that regard. The short of it is that my character was not competent at the things I thought he should be competent at as a scout in the army of the Golden Tooth Guard. And that wasn't the GM's fault. It wasn't really a system problem. It was a player problem. Mine and the other players, really. So let's move on past that. When I finally got to third level, I had situated my character the way I wanted. I got to be the scout again. And the things I wanted to be good at, I was good at. Unfortunately, by that time, we were at a section of the adventure where we were no longer in the wilderness. The whole first part of the adventure was in the wilderness. My scout was supposed to be good in the wilderness. And barring the initial assault on the monastery, I was not good at those things. There were a lot of aspects of the game that were communicated through dynamic lighting. And it was pretty interesting, and Edwin had a reason for that. He really wanted Alan to experience what it was like as a player to see all the dynamic lighting and how things shifted and moved and how much visibility affected you. And it's a lot. When you're using dynamic lighting and you're in very large rooms or very cramped spaces, you can't see very well. It's hard to know what's going on. It really kind of helps evoke a particular feeling. Unfortunately, that feeling for me was frustration. I make it sound like the game was horrible. It was not horrible. It was a good game, and it really helped show how fragile characters can be. I mean, we lost three player characters in 25 sessions. I guess that's nothing compared to... It wasn't really 25 sessions either. I mean, we took breaks out there for cons and... Let's say 18 sessions, and I made 12 of them, maybe. So maybe 20 sessions, and I made 12. I don't know. Over half for sure, but I didn't really keep good notes in that regard. Mostly because my notes got kind of lost and obfuscated by missing sessions in the middle. Edwin runs the game pretty close to his vest, and I think too vague in some instances, where it was difficult for us to know what was going on. He wanted us to sort of solve some mysteries, and in the session recap, or in the campaign recap, we found that we had kind of really did it, but it was came out in a way that we didn't even know we had been successful. And I'm not sure that's what you necessarily want. All in all, I think 5th edition was fun. Edwin's game was interesting, though I was frustrated at points. I know, you know, in retrospect, he had wished that we were a little higher level when we got to the location we were at, when we were basically trapped and we kept on moving into these areas that were, you know, pretty deadly, and it was almost suicidal to go in them, but we just kind of wandered in anyway because that's what we thought we were supposed to do, or that's what the other players thought. I mean, I was continually saying, hey, I don't think we should go in here. Is this really where we need to go? Let's really try to figure things out and decide where we should go. And after we'd already lost most of our resources, being hit points and everything, really, we finally kind of in the very last session decided that we were going to do something a little different. We were going to use our brains and we were going to try to get to a location. And we did. As time was running low, we had gotten to something that definitely felt like it was this epic end of the campaign. Let's figure out what we were doing. But we lost one of the characters, and we knew there was only two people left out of four. And we knew we had to go to somewhere specific. And I thought it was a certain answer. We get through this place, we could escape. But we didn't. We actually ended up in a pseudo pocket dimension full of the creatures that were just waiting to attack our dimension from theirs. And this is the whole thing that we were supposed to figure out, and we didn't really get that done. The whole campaign ended with our two characters floating in limbo, seeing these creatures about to move through the gate we had just leapt through and attack. And that was an interesting way to end it. I think it's pretty obvious we would have gotten killed, but maybe not. You know, we don't know. It was very Call of Cthulhu-esque, which makes sense because Edwin is also a very veteran Call of Cthulhu GM. So in the end, thanks to Jose, Alan, Bird, and Edwin for a memorable game and really, really emergent play that I didn't even know was going on until the campaign was over and I looked back at it. So thank you for that. And as I said, at the end of everything, there is a beginning. And now let's talk about the next campaign. I'm not going to talk about this long, but the great Tim Shorts of the Gothridge Manor fame invited me to a solo game in his Comore Forest, which he has been detailing for a while now in his micro adventures and NPCs from his Patreon. So check out Patreon Gothridge Manor to see what Tim's doing. So I decided I wanted to play an elf, which screeders may know, I hate demi-humans. Yes, yes, it's true, but I have a method to my madness. I am trying to play an elf in the way I wish other people would play demi-humans. Like really delving into their culture and what makes them different from humans. Too often, I feel like I've said this before, but maybe not. Too often I feel like people are only playing elves or halflings or dwarves or whatever, in whatever game system you're playing, for the bonuses. So they're just min-maxing. And some people think that's fine. I don't like it. I don't know if it's a holdover from the old days of me running games or what, but it annoys the shit out of me. I want people to play characters that are going to help create story with me. That's why I play. I want to discover stories together. And if all you want to do is fight shit and be better at somebody else and win at D&D, then you're not necessarily the dude I want to play with. So, there you go. One thing that we really are trying to do is help flesh out the Komori, which is these ash elves that live in the Kalashaw Forest, which is a burnt, heavily destroyed area that these elves live in this very harsh environment, and they're considered savage and maybe barbaristic. But what you don't know about them, or what the most populous of the Comor Forest people don't know, is that's just their way of life, and they have these laws that they live by, and they stick to them. They're kind of black and white that way, and I'm kind of playing my character, Balinar, I think. I don't even know what his name is right now. Is that sad or what? It was Monday, so give me a break, guys. But anyhow, I'll keep on trying to let you guys know what happens with this, and I'm sure Tim will mention it as well. So I kind of wanted to let you know that we wrapped up a campaign, which I don't know if I've ever done, really. Had a planned campaign that way. Loved it. And I'm really hoping to get another one going. I don't know what it's going to be. I hope it is more serial in the same manner, with the same group going through some kind of story. And, you know, put 20 sessions on it, or maybe 3 sessions of 5 arcs each, or 3 sessions of 10. I don't know. Something like that. I just really love the idea of telling a complete and total story, like I would read in a book, or watching a movie, or reading a graphic novel, or I think you follow my drift. If you don't, call in. If you do, call in. No matter what you do, call in. I think there is a theme here. Yes. You know what I'm going to say next. It's better to burn out than to fade away.